Well, most of us, I dare say, when we hear this story that Jesus tells, are pretty clear in our own mind that the Pharisee is the bad guy and the other guy is the good guy. In large measure because besides our own already negative preconceived notions about Pharisees as a group, Jesus clearly approves the other guy and not the Pharisee. But let's think for a moment about this Pharisee. You know, according to the usual standards of morality, really, the Pharisee looks pretty awesome. I mean, he is not a grasping or greedy man. Far from it, he pays tithes 10% on all he gets for God's worship and the relief of the poor. And he is not unjust towards other people. And he is not adulterous. He is faithful to his family and marital commitments. And get this, he fasts twice a week. Twice a week. Now, really, honestly, how many of us in this space can even match the Pharisee's vita? Now, on the other hand, the other guy, being a tax collector, is everything that the Pharisee is not. He is a grasping and unjust man, burdening the poor among his own people, profiting from Roman oppression of his people, and all because of his greed. The tax collector would be the very last person to generously pay tithes on all he gets. And so, let's take a closer look then as to why Jesus says that the tax collector goes home from the temple justified, but the Pharisee does not. Well, first of all, the Pharisee, when he went up to the temple to pray, did not in fact pray to God. Jesus says very clearly that the Pharisee said his prayer to himself. So when he says, "Oh God, I thank you," the God that he is addressing is himself. He is complete. He is smug in his self-righteousness. More than that, he is the only just man that there is. Everyone else is sinner. Moreover, he looks upon the tax collector with special contempt because he is vastly superior to him. But let's be careful. Let's be careful that we don't slip into the same trap that the Pharisee himself did by ourselves thinking that we are superior to that Pharisee. Because honestly, don't we do the same thing he does? I mean, really, how many times, let's be honest, how many times when we hear a reading or a homily, we think to ourselves, "Boy, so-and-so needs to hear that homily." Or that group of people, those sinners, need to pay heed to that scripture passage, while we don't apply it to ourselves. So, in this story, Jesus tells us very specifically what the deadly sin of pride, and it is a deadly sin, looks like. Remember that the Pharisee, let's say this, I can't stress this enough. The Pharisee was a very good and upright man as far as our usual standards of morality. but he felt no need for God, and that he was superior to the rest of humanity, and he was contemptuous of the sins of others. The tax collector was truly a sinful man. But we find him beating his breast. Ah, something is going on with that tax collector by God's grace. He is beating his breast as if to strike his heart of its evil thoughts which led to evil deeds. He strikes his heart as if to awaken it from sleep. And that is what is going on with that tax collector. He has been awakened to his sinfulness and his need for God's mercy. He stands some distance away from the Pharisee in the temple. The Pharisee is right up there in front. But his overwhelming need for God's mercy draws him nearer to God than the Pharisee will ever be. The tax collector's prayer pierces the clouds. St. John Chrysostom, one of the four great doctors of the Eastern Church, once preached about this parable. And he offers to us an image of a chariot race with two chariots, each driven by two charioteers. The one chariot is piloted by humility with sin as the other charioteer. The other chariot is driven by justice together with pride. And St. John Chrysostom says, see how the chariot driven by sin passes the chariot driven by justice, that is, virtue, uprightness, goodness. But the chariot driven by sin does not pass the other chariot on its own power, but because of its association with humility. Whereas the other chariot lags behind, not by any weakness of its justice, but because it is weighted down by pride. And just as the excellence of humility overcomes the handicap of sin, and that chariot leaps forward to reach God, so the other chariot loses because of the mass of pride that weights down justice. St. John Chrysostom doesn't stop there, which he could have, but he goes on to say that, wow, you know, if humility alongside sin speeds so fast that it passes the chariot driven by pride joined with justice, can you imagine how fast the first chariot would go if humility was yoked with justice instead of sin? How fast that would go. And he says, can you imagine if the other chariot lost because it was piloted by pride yoked with justice? How much deeper that chariot would be thrust down to hell if it was pride joined to sin. So St. Paul in our second reading says, I have competed well, I have run the race. So if we want to know how to compete well and to really win the race, we want to endeavor that we have the justice of this Pharisee coupled with the humility of the tax collector. But we certainly do not want to find ourselves to have the pride of the Pharisee coupled with the sin of the tax collector. To Jesus Christ, who out of humility and love, died so that we might be saved from sin, be glory forever and ever. Amen.